reference two settings of Scripture that stood out to me this morning. Ezekiel 16 and 46. I think I'm reading in the NLT on this one. Your older sister was Samaria, who lived with her daughters in the north. Your younger sister was Sodom, who lived with her daughters in the south. But you have not merely sinned as they did. You quickly surpassed them in corruption. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, Sodom and her daughters were never as wicked as you and your daughters. Listen to this next statement. Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. I thought of all the things that the Lord could have pointed to in the issues of some of these cities of the historical past and the way that they lived their lives, that in this communication, let me read on to you. She was proud and committed detestable sins, so I wiped her out as you have seen. Even Samaria, verse 51, even Samaria did not commit half your sins. You have done far more detestable things than your sisters ever did. They seem righteous compared to you. Shame on you. Your sins are so terrible that you make your sisters seem righteous, even virtuous. And so from the framework and the mindset of God, as he is meeting out these words of accusation towards these cities in time. This is back in the time of the writer of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. And when he points and begins to speak out the sins, he talks about them being proud and having so much and ignoring the poor and the needy that were outside their door. Let's go to Matthew 25 real quick. I'm going to read one more, and this is it. Matthew 25 at verse, I'm guessing this is 35. Verse 35. In the King James. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Action, 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 action. I know because of the days and the society that we live in that has such strong social programs, the focus of the church is primarily the redemptive message. The blood bought. How do I get the blood applied to have forgiveness of my sin? But when it comes to Jesus literally communicating how he would divide the sheep from the goats, he doesn't talk about the redemptive message. Maybe because you can't get in to the running without the redemptive message, the application of the blood. But he goes on to speak about their action. He's blessing those when he says, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did that. And they come back with an answer of, when did we do all those things? And he says, when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Of course, I didn't read the portion. It was the accusations of those that you did not when I needed. I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. And so what we see is the focus of the mindset of the Lord on action, which sometimes we hear so little about, because we have taken the focus of sharing the gospel and bringing the redemptive message, but oftentimes, sadly, we don't go far enough. when it comes to involving ourselves. Now, I'm only pointing to it because the Lord seems to continue to point to it in his word. You know, when he was looking back and way back, thousands of years, dealing with the cities and the nations in the book of Ezekiel, he was condemning them for their lack of action. When he makes provision, now we started off this day talking about giving and the provision that he makes and the accountability that we have for that which he puts in our hand or chooses to pass through our hands, there is an accountability of action, and not only to the issue of our personal need for redemption because of our sinful nature. Amen? I watch and I observe and I hear little stories. So-and-so doing something for so-and-so. And then so-and-so, somebody else, another so-and-so. Not like you so-and-so, no. But when I hear, you know, the beautiful accounts of somebody expressing care and concern to the place it moved them to action, that's a beautiful thing. I think that when I know that if I receive pleasure from that, I wonder to the extent that the Lord receives pleasure. He receives pleasure.
All of us at some point in our life can identify, no matter what your current state is, can identify with tough times, with trouble. Many of us, and I, you know, the Lord gives us grace. I don't always understand. I sometimes see situations. I look at situations, and I feel the compassion of the Lord through me towards scenarios that it's almost as if I could put it this way, they just can't catch a break. It's like they go from one problem to the next one, not problem, but just one situation to the next in their lives. It's just like, it's just the path that God has put them on. From one thing to the next, and they just, you know, they go through these things and they come to church and they still worship and maybe you catch them every service now and again where there's a tear that streams down their face, but they're strong. And they walk in the grace that God has given them. At times I find myself heartbroken for situations. I pray for individuals. Lord, whatever you're doing, give them grace. Whatever you ask them to walk through, I pray give them grace right now for that situation. I began to read late last night before I went to bed in the Pauline epistles, and something just floored me. So I went searching, I went looking. Most of you know, and I don't know why, most of you know that the Lord asked Paul to do the majority of the work that you read in the Word of God from prison. I can't explain that, Miko. I don't know why he let... It's the same as the bishop talked last week about how the king captured James and killed him, but yet the Lord allowed Peter to walk out... I can't explain that stuff. God's sovereign, and in his own way, he chooses the path for individuals. Why did he have to sacrifice Stephen's life to save the man who held the coats of them who threw the stones at him? And then you look at the work that man did in the kingdom of God. What was it? Why does God choose these things? And he asked each of us to go through different things. He asked each of us to carry a different load. Don't look at my load and say, oh man, I wish I had his load, because you don't see me in my private time. You don't see me in my weakest points and my personal one-on-one time with Jesus Christ. You don't see me. You don't know what that load is. You don't know what I have to carry. I heard a story one time of a man, and I don't know who the man was, but the story that I've heard it multiple times. I even heard it from the source, so I'm not just saying something here. Brother N.A. Irshan told a story one time of a man who called him frantically one day and said, I need you to pray for me. And he said, what do you need to pray for me about? This guy says, I am in dire straits. I need you to pray. He says, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. He goes, I woke up this morning and I asked the Lord to let me carry your burden. He said, and I'm literally coming apart. He goes, I feel like I'm having a nervous breakdown. And he said, why did you do that? He said, that's my burden. God has given me grace to carry that. That's not for you. He prayed with him on the phone, and what I heard, there was a release, and he never did that again. But I'm gonna jump through some scriptures here. I wanna read some scriptures to you, and we're gonna start in the last verse of the book of Romans. That's Romans chapter 16. I'm gonna read to you. I wanna paint a picture. I feel strongly in the Holy Ghost. The Lord is gonna minister to somebody today. There's what has gone on over the past 30 minutes, each person that has spoken, the Lord is ministering to individuals. This is just a continuation of that. What you're feeling right now, don't stop that. Don't try to halt that because, well, Brother Johnson's got the mic. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you right now. I feel that ministry right now in the room. Don't stop that. I'm going to flow in that. I'm going to do my best to continue that. Let the Holy Ghost continue to talk to you. And if you feel like breaking down and just letting the Holy Ghost flow through, do that. You're not going to interrupt anything. The Lord is wanting to help somebody today before we leave the room. But I want to read to you each of Paul's sign-offs or salutations in each of his letters, or the letters that we believe he wrote in Scripture. I'm going to read to you these sign-offs, all except for one. We're going to read that one last. Romans chapter 16, verse 27 says, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, in your Bible, jump to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is chapter 16. We're going to go to verse 24. He says, well, let's read 23 and 24. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 24. I'm sorry, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 18. Let's read verse 17 in this one. From henceforth let no man trouble me. Here's why no one should trouble me. Because I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul's getting a little testy. He's getting some blowback from the churches that he's writing to here. If you're not listening to me, you're not receiving my message, and stop messing with me. Stop spreading rumors about me. Stop talking about me, because I bear in my body. I got physical wounds here to prove what I'm going through, the beatings, the lashings, the imprisonment. It's getting a little testy. The load the Lord's asked him to carry is starting to wear on him a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Come on. Let's read verse 23 for two. Peace be to the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 30. I'm sorry, 23. I'm sorry, my phone's like got this 3-second delay. It's showing me 30 and then it's changing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, let's jump to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Last verse there, I believe it's verse 28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. I believe it's verse 12 there, or rather verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith, grace be with thee. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Titus chapter 3, verse 16 or 15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the face. Grace be with you all. Amen. Philemon, one chapter, last verse of it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Hebrews 13:25. Grace be with you all. Amen. I'm going to stop there and I'm going to go back to the book of Colossians, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. When I read this in the New Living Translation, they only switched out one word in this. They said, remember my chains. I don't know why. It jumped out at me. And I thought, I read this last night, and then I went to bed. And as I laid in bed, I was thinking about this. Why did Paul want the church to remember his chains? Went to sleep, got up this morning, didn't think much about it. Just kind of went on with my morning, and I this kept coming back to me over and over and over and over again. And so I began to sit down and begin to look at what Paul said regarding his imprisonments throughout the Pauline epistles. You pick it up first in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 20. You can actually read verse 19. He said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which, verse 20, I am an ambassador in bonds or in chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is a man who's speaking confidently from prison in imprisonment, saying, listen, there's a boldness that's come over me in prison. He goes, and even though there's chains around my hands and chains around my feet and I'm fettered here, I'm telling you what, the utterance of the Holy Ghost is upon me, and everything he tells me to write, I'm writing. I think every single one of us can identify with Paul in that type of a scenario. You enter into a situation, you enter into a trial, you enter into a season. And for the first little while, you're like, the devil is a liar. Day 2, the devil is a liar. Day 32, the devil might be light. Right. You've been there. We have such strong faith that the Lord will deliver me. But what happens when he doesn't? This is Paul's first mention of his bonds, and he's so ecstatic about it. He says more. Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. Well, let's read verse 6 too. Being confident of this very thing, that he, this is his greeting to the church at Philippi. This is the first writings. he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Woo! Here I am. I'm in prison. I'm bound up. But I know that he that started. See, if you've ever taught, if you've ever been a teacher, you understand that when the Holy Ghost begins to move through you, there's revelation that prevails to you. Because this isn't, this the stuff that happens around here isn't pre-planned out, predetermined stuff. And so when the Holy Ghost begins to minister through somebody, when someone begins to give themselves to spiritual utterance, there's as much revelation coming through here as there is going into you. And so he's writing, he which hath begun, inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The devil is a liar. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, even though I'm in chains. Paul's saying, I'm writing this to you. I believe this for you, but I believe it for me too. I'm sitting here fettered. I'm sitting here chained, but I believe that God, what he started, is going to finish. Yes. And I was on these travels, and I ministered to you, and God's going to deliver me. Amen. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospels, ye all are partakers of my grace. Why in the world do you think he ended every single letter with grace be unto you? The same grace that he's given me in these fetters and chains, let him give it to you. I pray in Jesus' name today that the grace God's given me to endure what he's asked me to go through, he would impart the same grace to you in Jesus' name. The same grace that he's imparted to me for my giftings. The same grace that he's imparted to me to endure what he's asked me to go through. Let it be imparted to you. He's not done yet. Verse 13, he said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Whew. They've heard about my teaching and my imprisonment has made it all the way to the king. There's word in the palace of this crazy maniac Paul that's preaching in prison, writing letters in prison. Do you think if they monitor communication today in prisons, do you think the guards didn't read some of that stuff back in the day? What's he trying to slip out? You know the impact of what those words written on paper, Brother Pablo? How many of those have you read? A lot of them. You probably get a lot of chuckles, don't you? The impact that it had upon guards. Do you think maybe them guards took some of that information through the palace and said, you won't believe the stuff this guy's writing. He said the word of my imprisonment has made it all the way through the palace. He said in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Woo! Yes. My goodness. This is a guy talking himself off the ledge. See, they're brethren in the gospel. Who, because I'm sitting here fettered in chains, I've got a confidence and are waxing boldly in the Holy Ghost to go out and declare this gospel of Jesus Christ that put me in these bonds. This is faith. This is grace being imparted through his writing. Colossians 4 and 3. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us to speak unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in bonds. You start to you start to see this transition in Paul's life of this confidence that God has put me here. He has allowed me to go through what I'm going through. He has strategically placed me in the kingdom for this hour in these chains. And there is a work being done by the power of the Holy Ghost, not just in my life, but in the entire church. And if you don't believe that the Holy Ghost can minister to your brother or your sister in Christ because of what he's allowing you to go through, then you've missed the point of what God can do through you in your life as a living testimony. If you don't think that your bonds, your chains, your affliction that you're going through isn't a testimony to me, it isn't a faith builder in me of seeing your faith in Jesus Christ, then you're mistaken. And Paul is at this place of believing that God is using this for my good. God is using this for the furtherment of the gospel of the kingdom of God in the earth. People are being brought to Christ from the streets to the palace because of my chains. But then you get to verse 18. And he signs off, and for the first time in any of his writings, he says, "This is me, Paul. It's with my own handwriting. I want you to know this is me." Period. Pray for me. Pray for me. Remember my chains. You're reading this in freedom. You're reading this in liberty. You're reading this and life's good, life's grand, and everything's going great for you. But remember, I'm in chains. Pray for me. Don't forget the weight. Don't forget the process that God has asked me to endure. Oh, don't get me wrong. There was much tribulation in the church. Don't get me wrong. There was much issue in the body of Christ. There was all kinds of persecution going on. But Paul said, just in one moment, the scripture gives us, you gotta understand, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's why I couldn't just breeze over this last night and just dismiss it. If you don't read scripture like God wants to talk to you from every single written word, then you're missing something that the Holy Ghost wants to talk to you about. And the Lord gives us, in his holy word, he gives us just a crack, a small brief moment, a small peek into the life of our dear brother Paul who went before us. And a moment of time where I don't know how long he's been in prison at this point. I don't know how long he's been bound at this point. One other time in Hebrews, the 13 chapters, he was closing out that one. And those who are involved with music today can come. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." The Amplified version says it this way: remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoner. He said there's, he's writing, this is, he just got done. Remember, he just finished talking about the heroes of faith. All those people who've been sawn asunder for the gospel's sake. And he's finalizing this chapter and he says, listen, don't forget that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are still in chains. They have suffered much for the gospel's sake. And he says, I want you, if you can, to think about them and pray for them as if you are with them, a fellow prisoner. Now, I've never been in prison. I don't know what it's like to have to live under the constant watch and to be fettered and chained, and I don't know what that's like. I have a hard time. This man shared with me some of his experiences. He testified a few weeks ago about that. I have a hard time identifying with him. I can listen and say, wow. I told him some stories about prison ministry, but I got to go home when it was over. They let me out. He said, these people that are in the gospel, don't forget them. And when you pray, I want you to pray like you're their fellow prisoner. And he said, he went further. He said, those who are being persecuted, those who are mistreated, in the Amplified, since you also are in the body and subject to physical suffering. You know, we use the terms, well, when one hurts, we all hurt. When one cries, we all cry. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. I said all that to say, you're probably saying, well, why don't you just say it at the beginning and save us all the time? Because the Holy Ghost is really, really ministering to somebody right now. And I read you all those scriptures. I didn't just say a bunch of things. I read you all those scriptures. Here's what the Holy Ghost is really wanting to say today. Through the process of time, we can become very stoic, staunch, and just tough enough to carry the load. Whatever that load is that the Holy Ghost or that the Lord has asked you to carry, you come to church, you get grace. You don't talk to anybody about it. You don't share it with anybody, but we become so just, I can do this. You know? But there comes a place in time when the Lord gives us opportunity to say, help. Jesus, I need help. Why would he do that in a setting like this? Because I don't like people knowing about my problems. I don't want anybody to see me in a point of weakness. I need everybody to think I'm strong. I need everybody to think I got this together. I don't want anybody to think that I'm a psychic mess. So why did he do it in a setting like this? For the same reason that Paul wrote to the church in the book of Hebrews and said, pray for those who are in prison as though you were a fellow prisoner. Find somebody. Let the Lord lead you to somebody who's hurting and pray for them. Can you do this in the flesh? No! Because I don't identify necessarily in the flesh with what's going on with you. But I said in the beginning that the Lord oftentimes allows his compassion to overtake me. And he begins to love individuals through me. It's his love. It's not my own. And I believe that in a moment of prayer, as the Holy Ghost leads, I can connect with somebody. I can take a brother by the hand. I can lay a hand on a brother's shoulder. And I can begin to wait on the Lord. I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Lord in that moment can begin to allow me to feel what somebody else is feeling. And when that happens, When the Lord begins to minister through me to an individual, and I don't get lost in my own thing or what I'm feeling, but I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting, and I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to allow me to feel what they're feeling. And then that ministry of prayer, Brother Cool, begins to flow through me and my vessel. That's what it means when he says, remember my chains. Remember my suffering. The Holy Ghost is ministering right now. Would you find somebody right now? Don't just go walk up. Let the Holy Ghost lead you to somebody right now. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you right now about somebody that you can pray with, and allow the Holy Ghost to begin to minister to them through you. This isn't about praying for somebody, but this is about connecting with somebody in the Spirit. I don't have to know, I don't have to be aware, but the Holy Ghost knows, and he knows all things. And when I allow his Spirit to begin to flow through me, the ministry of his Spirit begins to flow through my vessel to another individual. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, he's aware of every moment of hurt. He's aware of every moment of pain. He's aware of every moment of discomfort. And he knows. He knows. And he's going to minister to you today. He's going to bring ministry to your life, to your spirit today, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
All to you.
Wow, this is beautiful.